through the Bible and asking God about some places where prayers were made and where psalms were sung, because songs are expression of our heart, and they can be joyful, they can be sad, but these songs are sometimes prayers of praise. And as we're here at this Thanksgiving season, I want you to look with me today at some places where people sang unto the Lord because of what he had done. And what it would do, Ms. Kim, is it would remind them, this song would be passed down, and it would be a reminder to them of what God has done in the past, so that it is an assurance of what God's doing currently in their life and what God's going to do through everything in their life. One of the first places we'll look at is Psalms chapter number 30. David says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And so he's saying here, there should be a time that we as Christians sing unto the Lord. But now I'm going to look back at some places where God's people sang unto him. We kind of have a cultural thing that's happening with us in church, is that we expect to come into a service and we expect that there's going to be one or two songs, probably one or two congregational songs, one or two special songs. If you're in churches that have choirs, there's going to be a couple of choir songs. And so we just expect songs to be sung. But we don't always think about them. I've said before, you can get a lot of help. If you're really going through something, just ask me and we'll send you home one of the hymn books. And you just take a look through that hymn book and start reading what the lyrics of those songs are, because they have special meaning to them. And oftentimes it's written out of the heart for someone that was going through something in their life. But I want to look in the Bible and see the places where God has done something for his people, usually here in the nation of Israel or someone individual. And they respond at the end of it with singing. It's not weird. It's not a musical. It was a way of worship. When the battles were over, when the victory was won, they'd sing. We see that today. They're still called victory songs, places where people would sing after a great battle, a victory. You see it in sports and stuff. The band would play, or if you're really involved in sports, you might be a part of a group that won some game, and then on the way back on that bus trip, there'd be some singing that was taking place. And it's not uncommon for God's people also to praise him through song. And so I want to look in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 22. I'm going to go ahead and give you a warning about this, and don't get deflated on it. Most of these are not two verses. There's a lot of verses involved in a lot of the ones that we're looking at today, but we'll move through them. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 22, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of who?
All of his enemies.
Yeah, all of his enemies. In other words, the Bible says that David got to a place where here he was, and he begins to realize something. This is the first time in my life or at least the first time in a long time, I haven't been on the run. I haven't been in a battle. Everything seems to be settled. It was at the end. David's life was full of battles. He fought the enemies. I said this morning to our first service, he fought the enemy. He had battles inside his own home. He had struggles against Saul, his own people. David was a man of war. He was someone that understood struggles. He lived in the wilderness at times, running from his enemies, running from Saul. He was always and forever dependent upon God. He was looking to a promise that God had made him, that he would make him and establish him the king of Israel. And one day, David's sitting there, and he begins to realize, it really comes clear, I'm not in a battle anymore. I'm at rest. I'm at ease. I'm not struggling. I'm not fearing. I'm not looking over my shoulder. I'm not having to prepare myself for war. I'm not having to fight. I can actually just sit here and enjoy this day. I can enjoy the peace that I have come to know. I can enjoy the quiet. I can enjoy the rest that comes. I can lay down tonight and be in a bed instead of in a field or in a cave or preparing for a battle. And I can rest tonight. And so the Bible says, David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Have you ever been to that place where David's at right there, where he gets to the end of it all? Sort of like what Miss Darlene was saying a little while ago. I've gone through this and gone through that. And then there's just this place where all of a sudden I feel like, you know what, I can breathe. And we look to God and we say, the Lord is my rock. In other words, that's where I stand. It's solid under my feet now. David knew what it was to be in unstable places. And he says, but the Lord is my rock. He goes on, he says, my fortress. That's that place of safety and security. That's that place with him where God protects us and we run to under his wing. He says, God is my... I don't run to a thing. I run to God. I don't run to a place. I run to God. And then he's saying, God, and having brought me through all of this, you are my rock. And I want to declare to the people, God is my rock and he's my fortress and he's my deliverer. David's saying the same thing that we were saying just a little while ago. I know I fought the battles, and I know I came through it. I know I'm victorious, but I want you to know something. That was God. You know, he's the one that did that. He fought the battles. He slayed the giants. He kept me safe. He put provisions in. He gave me victory in the battles. He gave me courage to go through it. He says, I just want you to know something. Don't look at me and see a king in a palace. Look at me and see a young boy that just came out of the field to watch his sheep and God brought through. And God did things in my life. We get to Thanksgiving this week. We ought to be looking around and we look at what we have and we're grateful for and just say, you know what? That's God. That's God. I just want you to know that's God. That's him. He's done that. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. By the way this is going, we might only get through one song today. He goes in verse number 3, he says, the God of my rock. Earlier he said, God is my rock, and then he says, God is the God of my rock. He's the one that keeps my rock strong. If I'm standing on security, if I'm secure in something, he says, God's the one that keeps it safe. And he goes on, he says, in him will I trust. There's those words again. Because God has done this, because I look back and I recognize and I see that God is my rock and he's the strength and he's my help and he's my deliverer, he says, in him will I trust. How do we as Christians stand? How do I as a Christian stand, as a pastor, stand in front of someone and talk to you and tell you in the time of your trouble that there's a God that loves you and he'll take you through this? It's because what I'm really saying is, he's my God, he's my rock, he's my deliverer, he's done it all. I want you to know something today that you should be able to stand sometime, someplace in your life and let someone know, God is my rock. God is my strength. When they want to know how is it that you keep going and how is it that you still have a song in your heart, you say it's very simple, God's my rock. When we spoke about the Madleys earlier and how that for a couple of years, just one after another in a row, everyone just kept, there was cancer in this one, and they go through those battles and the struggles, and they go through the chemos and the long days and the long nights and the worries, and then God bring them through it, and they get a diagnosis of someone else, and they'd have it, and they go through it, and then they're here today, and they smile, and they sing, and they worship, and they go out, and they serve God, and they do that because they can stand and say, God is my rock, and he's my fortress, and my deliverer, he's the God of my rock, in him will I It also means that when David would face another battle, when David would face another sorrow, when he would face another problem in his life, he could still look and say, I will trust in God. Now you can tell a real Christian, you'll know it in your life when God has really secured you, is because when the battle comes, you're not prone any longer to leave and quit or throw up your hands and say, I tried God, but it didn't work. It's that you'll say, I've got to trust in God. He's the only one. He's proven himself to get me through these things. He said, he is my shield. We understand that scenario or that illustration. He's saying, God's the one that's protecting me. Is that whenever all the blows come and all the darts come and all the dangers come, he said, I just hide behind that shield. David knew what it was to go into a battle and to trust his shield, for his shield to be an extension of his body, extension of his arm, that he could protect with one and attack with the other. And he understood what it was to be able to go close to an enemy in battle, very so close that enemy could reach out and swing a blow at him with a sword or a spear or any other item, and know that I can be very close to them because I trust my shield that will protect me. That my shield will get me very close to my enemy, but it will keep me safe from my enemy. My shield is what will help me to prevail over my enemy because I can stand close. Sometimes it feels a danger and that things are right up on you, that they're right there in your face, that they're right there pressing upon you. And it's good to know when you get to a place and understand God's my shield and I just stand behind Him. It doesn't matter how close it seems that the enemy is because my shield is even closer. He always protects me. He says He's the horn of my salvation. In the Bible, in their times, they understood the horn as a source of power, represented as a symbol of power, strength. Whenever it talks about the horns, there was horns put upon the altar because it would speak about the strength and the power, the ability. You can kind of understand that as you see rams as they would lock horns, you know, in that battle. How they, and so David said, He is my power. He's my strength. He's the source of power that I have. He goes on, he says, He's the horn of my salvation. David here using the word salvation, I know that we're so accustomed to using only in the terms of redemption, but David's using it here as it is so often in the Old Testament of physical deliverance, any type of actual deliverance from something. We speak of salvation and deliverance from sin, deliverance from Satan, hell, and wrath of God, and that's all accurate and true. Sometimes in the Old Testament we're not understanding it. He does belong to God, but he's saying here, in it all, in the source of struggle, He has been my salvation. I'm still alive today, is what he's saying, because of Him. My high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He said, I just want you to know something. He says, when I'm in the middle of it all, I just call on God. I just call on Him. Why? Because I know that I'll be delivered because of Him. He is my strength. He is my source. He is my high tower. He is all of those things. And He says, I just want you to know, says, when I face something again, I will call on Him. Call on Him. They've already told me that they have to step out, so that's why they're leaving. They said, it wasn't anything I said. And then He said, well, then again, it might be. I don't know. That wasn't the message. So they'll be stepping out. And so, David says, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And sometimes, as we have today, it was not that hard. I'd ask you, you know, what is something hard? I looked around this morning, I saw it. I mean, God was just on something to you today, and it was just so evident that He was impressing Himself that He's done something that was overflowing inside of you. And I stopped and said, you know, who wants to share what God's doing in your life, what you feel right now? And it wasn't hard. It should never be hard. When God is ever present in our life, that we will testify. He said, I will praise Him. He's worthy of praise. Sometimes as a pastor, and we're guilty of this, pastors are guilty, preachers are guilty of this sometimes, and we come in and we spend a lot of energy trying to get you to see how worthy God is of praise so that you will in turn praise God. We can't do that. We can bring reminders to you, but God's the one that begins to work inside and say, you know what, think about what I've done. And then out of that, we begin to say, well, I want to praise God for this. And we asked you earlier, you know, as we sing the songs, to think about God and what He's doing in your life. And that's what happens is we begin to praise God because He's worthy of that. You will never lack praise in a place where people recognize how worthy God is of it. And we have understand that when we realize it wasn't me, it was God. And I want you to know something. We'll never tire of hearing that. You never have to come in here and say, well, they've heard me testify before. It doesn't matter. God's worthy of that testimony. He goes on and he says, verse 5, when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Here David's saying, I want you to understand how bad it got. I want you to know what I really felt. I'm not just somebody saying, oh, you know, things are bad some days, but God's good. He says, I want you to know how bad it got. Just look at some of the things. He said, when the waves of death compassed me. In other words, he said, I was being swallowed up with death. I often tried to think about what their battles were like. They were hand-to-hand combats. Men dying all around them. never knowing that you would walk out again. David said, not only that in the midst of battle, but there's times when we're not in the battle anymore. But we're overwhelmed. And death seems to overwhelm us. He says, and I was, the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Where David knew, he said, there's people that wish to harm me, and I mean harm them in the most serious ways. And they often had the physical advantage over David, but they never had the advantage that could overcome God. He said, the sorrows of hell compassed me. David never said, look, I want you to know something. I've become a Christian. I started following God and I've never had sorrows again. David said, the sorrows of hell compassed me. In other words, he said, I want you to know I hurt and I hurt bad sometimes. David says, I want you to know something. I've been in a place where I've hurt beyond measure. David says, I want you to know that I've cried bitter tears. That I've ached so bad inside. David says sometimes that his bones were wax old, which means that his entire body, that his sorrow and his stress and his trauma and his grief physically affected his entire body. Yet David says, they can pass me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his what? Of his temple. That temple was that place where God's presence was. Now God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at all times. But God would physically put his presence in a certain place, in that temple. And it would allow Israel to look to that temple. Or physically go to that place. And it would remind them of the presence of God. It would let them be assured that God is there. They would sense God or see God or know God even more so in that place. And God has always, for his people, designed a special place where he would do a special work in their life. And this is why I don't push church because I'm a pastor. It's not an occupational thing. I want you to understand God's designed the place where he says, I want you to know that that's where I really, truly, you will know that I hear your prayers from that place. David said, when everything was down, when my body was broken, when my heart was aching, when I couldn't do no more, he said, I was reminded of that temple, that place where God was. See the difference in a Christian of David's caliber and a Christian or a person that professes faith, and when trials come in their life and disappointments come, they flee the church of God. They don't no longer, they're not ever present in church. They're very unfaithful in church. Why? And they just don't, it's not where they see God working in their life. David said, he heard me out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. In other words, you have to get this picture. David saying, when all this was at the place, when I was really overwhelmed with everything else, he said, when I cried unto God because of the affliction, because of the persecution of other people, he says, God woke up and he began to, you got to get the picture here. It's like waking a sleeping giant. David says, I could physically, visibly understand and know that God is responding to my cry. How do you know that? He says, well, the earth shook and trembled. Foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up smoke out of his nostrils. Now David's not actually seeing God with smoke out of his nostrils. What he's saying is, I could see that God was affected, even though I couldn't see God. David understood what it was for true emotion inside. As we would picture an angry, if he was a cartoon, you'd see one of those angry beasts in the field, you know, that bull that's there, and all of a sudden he'd start to snort out of his nose, and you know something bad getting ready to happen to Bugs Bunny, right? Y'all with me? I got all y'all back now. David's saying, in my mind, I could see God as an angry person, an angry God who's rose up because of those that afflict me. You see, sometimes we just feel like we're just trying to get God to pay a little bit of attention to our problems, and He'll just do a little bit of dating. Said, no, I want you to know something. When I called upon God, God responded. And it's like, you know what? Y'all in trouble now. Because God has now come to my rescue. And He is responding. Notice how He's responding. He says, smoke went out of His nostrils, fire out of His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed down to the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. David says in this place, he says, I wish that you could see with your mind's eye a true and real God responding to your situation. He's not a magic genie sitting back on the couch eating grapes and saying, okay, fine, let this goat be happy. No, he's responding. He's coming to the rescue. And when he comes on the scene, he's going to do something. David never saw God actually do that, but David saw the enemy fall. David saw God using him. David saw a rock and a sling as a young man. He saw a giant fall. David saw armies fall. And what he was seeing is he said, you know what, that's God. Next time he'd go into battle, or next time he was having a situation, he would know, say, you know what, I've cried out to God. And when God, when He comes to my rescue, y'all are in so much trouble. He wasn't arrogant. He was confident. God was going to not just dismiss him or just wave him off and say, it'll be all right, David, I'll take care of him. He knew that there was a God that's going to come physically, personally, really, truly do something. He says in verse number 11, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were the coals of fire kindled. In other words, he's saying, when God did this, if you could just picture that, if Hollywood could just reenact that for us, and you'd see it happening, that's what David's saying. I want you to understand. I want you to see by faith what I see God doing. I want you to see this God responding in a miraculous and a wonderful and a magnificent way where He's moving and fire is flying out from His feet and it's catching the enemy by awe and wonder. I want you to know something. We have a God that's real. And this world may be doing all it can and all it wants to right now, but when God, it comes and decides, I'm going to take care of this and I'm going to put an end to it, it's all over. Whatever's going on in your life, I want you to know when God responds in the way. He's always there. He's always strengthening. He's always. There's going to come a time that God just puts you in a place. You remember how this thing started? David was at a place where he began to realize, I don't have to go to battle. I can go to bed. A real bed. God give you that place where you sit there and all of a sudden realize, I haven't had proper self-sleep in a long time. I haven't had to get up with fear or anxiety about this day. I haven't had to hurt. I haven't had to worry. I haven't had to try to do it on my own. That's where David was. And that's when it sits there and all of a sudden you go, you know what? It's causing God. God's doing that. I thought this morning about some of the things that I've mentioned in the first service. Some things that God's brought us through. And I thought about my wife and some of the sickness that she's had through her life. And I remember the long, lengthy times of the struggles and the pain and the worry. And then I remember there just being a time when we were talking and said, you know what? It hurt like that. And I haven't forgotten what it was like, but I'm almost, it's not in my mind all the time. Haven't had those words. It's just been a place. When God gets you to that place, they say He rode upon the cherub and did fly and was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters, thick clouds of the sky. Through the brightness before him were coals kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. In other words, what he's saying is, if you could picture this enemy, this army standing before David, and before David fights, he's saying it's as if God had sent out a storm, and through lightning and thunders and everything else, he's already conquered the enemy, and I've never done a thing. You know, God literally did that for Israel before. David said, this is the kind of God that we have. I just want you to understand, your enemies will quake before you. He goes on and he says in verse 16, and the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of his breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. Notice what David said, they were too strong for me. I always think of David as a guy that could beat anybody. I mean, he woke up and sleep, Goliath, you know? But you know what David did? I didn't beat Goliath, God did. I didn't beat the Philistines, God did. I didn't avoid Saul, God did. David's just looking back. And that's just like you gave your testimonies before, and he just said, you know what, that was God. I just come through all this, and if you just knew how weak I was, you'd understand that was God. My trouble, I want you to know something today. Some people feel that your trial is bigger than you are and that you can't conquer it, and then there's always that good Christian, we mean well, we come by and we say, this is not bigger than anything you can't handle. It's not true. It is something you can't handle. It's not anything God can't handle. David said, I couldn't. It was fine with me. But God did. Pastor James Locke, I've heard him say it so many times. He said, people say sometimes God won't give you anything that's too strong for you. And he said, God will never put anything when you can. It's always going to be God. It's always going to be God. If you come to that place and you start saying, I just feel like I can't do this on my own, you know what? Just admit you can't. By the way, if you're with that person and say, I just don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do it on my own. I don't think I can do it another day. Don't panic. Just look down and say, you can't. Don't worry, God can't. He's going to. He said, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. David said, I want you to understand something. God didn't do this just because I asked. God did this because I kept my life clean. I kept my life pure. I put aside the things that dishonor God. I didn't pick up the things that displease him. I didn't participate in the activities that God called sinful. I set those things aside, and God did this for me because I kept my life clean. Not a reward, but a requirement. God works enough for us, but we've got to keep our life clean. You keep piling trouble upon your life and pray every day, but it ain't going to matter. Get your life clean. Live your life right. Stop making excuses for your sin. Start leaving it alone. Trusting God is not just praying. Trusting God is obeying God. David said, I want you to know something. He said, he rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. He says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I did what God... David wasn't one around that said, I know what God says, but... David says, I know what God says, and therefore... That's what I'm going to do. He says in verse 24, I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness, and my eye in his eyesight. In other words, David said, God saw me everything that I did. And so I watched what I did because God was watching me. God knows. He says, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the forward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty. that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, the word of his Lord of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. For who is God, save the Lord, and who is a rock, save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hen's feet, and setteth me upon the high place. In other words, he says, God makes my feet quick, swift to the battle, puts me in the right places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. That's amazing. David said, what he's saying is, the strongest weapon of the enemy was broken in my hands because of God. Well, if that's true, you don't have to fear very much, do you? He said, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, which means he gave him a secure footing, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to the battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the neck of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did smack them in the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen, a people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. David said, it is God that avenges me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Lastly, he said, therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Let's do that again. Therefore, based on everything he's already said, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. That was the prayer, a song of David. When David got to the place and said, you know what, I just see that I'm at rest. It made him walk back through and say, I want to praise God for all that he had done. This Thanksgiving, I challenge you, you ought to write a song unto God. I'm not a songwriter. You could be one. Sit down with pen and paper or computer and begin to just say, here's what God's done for me. That's all David did. He talked about his emotions. He talked about his deliverance. He talked about his God. And he said, you know what? I will praise God. All of you. I want you to stand with me just a little while, all over the building.